Morning. Well, it's awesome to be here. Wow, here we are, Freedom Gates.
Yes.
Awesome.
The remnant
of Freedom Gate, yes. Well, it's always a pleasure to minister here, and I've been invited in this pulpit. I don't know why they keep inviting me back, but they do. So this is my 12th year being able to serve this ministry. And my beautiful wife, Sarah, is among us today as well. I believe Pastor Rick introduced her as my much younger and much more beautiful looking wife. Thank you, Pastor Rick. It is true, but thank you anyway. And if you haven't been humbled yet by Pastor Rick, you will be before you leave today. Amen. And those of you watching, Pastor Rick, he's a lot of fun, and he also will bring you right down to where you need to be, nice and low, nice and low. So, but this is interesting, you know, 12 years, and I welcome all those watching online. I think somewhere in here, the cameras, and especially to those of you who are watching that are supporters and friends of Rick Bennett Ministries, we are also, and I just want to encourage you, keep on supporting and keep sowing into this ground, because this is good soil, amen. This is harvest ground in Arizona for the natives and for all those here, and even these Minnesotans that show up once in a while. You know, we all need Jesus. Yes. So keep on sowing, because it's good soil. And just a little bit, how many of you have heard me speak before? All right, just about all of you. And how many of you are already receiving our monthly e-letter, a little devotional? Okay, about half. So I'll pass this around. Just to let you know, I have a little monthly devo. I usually write just a short kind of encouragement on how to hear the voice of God each month. And also I have a free ebook for you. It's called Hearing the Voice of Our Father. I'm going to actually speak on some of those themes today because it's Valentine's Day. The theme of the message is Love Speaks on Valentine's Day. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So we're going to look at how the Father speaks today, very specifically. So if you're watching online and you'd like to become a monthly receiver of those devos, you go to borntoblaze.com. You'll be able to sign up there. But I'll just pass this around. Just put in your name and email. You put a little push the sign up button and you're in. And if you ever want to unsubscribe, you can. So I'll just pass that around. I will not be offended. I know a lot of people get a lot of emails these days, but I try to do it once a month and be, you know, somewhere along the theme of hearing the Lord speak. So just a little bit of a background. So 12 years ago, we got introduced to Rick and Susan and through Phil Beekler, who was one of my mentors back in Minnesota. We were at that time running a professional wedding video business called Princess Bride. So any Princess Bride fans? A few? Okay. And it was great. We had our business running in Minneapolis in the summers and down here in the winters. And I think over about a five-year period, we probably served about 40 different brides and grooms down here over that time. So we filmed at all the big resorts around here, Scottsdale, and it was just the blessing of the Lord was upon our work. And I was traveling in the nations preaching about 2 to 3 times a year, usually. I've been to 20 nations so far proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And then in the middle of all that, I got very, very sick. And I got a very serious form of cancer. So if you haven't heard my story or if you're watching online, just wanted to give you a little piece of it. That 7 years ago, actually, I was down. I did preach that time as well here. And I didn't know it, but I had cancer growing. It started here on my leg, and it spread into my lymph nodes. It was melanoma stage 3B. So by the time that I caught it, it had already become very, very deadly for me. And I can tell you, 6 to 7 years ago, our world and my world fell out from underneath our feet. Sure. And we had that doctor's visit where, you know, you're not given much time. And we had 3 beautiful kids and still do. They're still, okay. We have 3 beautiful children. Have. Present tense.
And you have a wife.
And I have a wife. My much, much younger and much better looking wife is seated here. Yeah, would you stop amening me, Pastor Rick? So anyway, it became very, very deadly. And I think if you hear nothing else, we're going to talk about love speaking and the Father speaking and how beautiful Jesus is and the Holy Spirit and all of it today. But if you hear nothing else, just let me say that, you know, you and I are never guaranteed that everything's just going to fly by our life and there's not going to be any trials or tests. And certainly in this past year, we've all been through trials and tests. I understand 90% of you have had COVID. That was not very faith building, but amen, we're here. Like, thank you for letting me know that. We haven't had it yet. But the point is, it's been a tough year. I'm just going to keep preaching over Pastor Rick. Whatever he's saying right now, I'm going to keep going. You know, it's been a tough year, right? This last year. This has not been easy to walk through this year. And financially, and people around you may have passed away and so forth. And I just remember running to the Lord in this time of trial. And I was given a drug called interferon because with melanoma, there was something missing in my immune system that normally is there, where it didn't approach the cancer as a threat inside of me. And so they had to give me these really powerful drugs that sort of were there to retrain my immune system to recognize the cancer and battle it. So of course you get a fever, right, when you're on these particular form of drugs. And Rick and Sue, all of you guys, a lot of you were praying me through this time. So I have no doubt that I'm here today by the miracle of the Lord and by prayers and also medicine. I believe it's all one package, all right? I'm a faith man, but I know the Lord has blessed us with a great doctor. And this particular drug was a tough one. It was a shot I had to give myself in the stomach every Monday night. And while I was on that drug, I lost half my hair in that first year, most of my weight, and I would get a fever the next day. Now, some weeks were pretty clear, a fever a couple of days. Some weeks were very severe, and I would have a fever Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you wake up Sunday, and you're exhausted, and then Monday, you take the shot again. And I had to endure 69 weeks of that. So I can tell you of a surety, I ran to the Lord Jesus, and I found his presence. And one fun story is that the Lord brought Pastor Rick and Susan to us, to our home, and fairly early on in the battle, and he got there by the GPS, and where we lived out in the country, there was a road, and the name of the road was called Dead Rick. So he got to our house, and he's like, "Well, I love your house." Yeah, the bear. Yeah, he thought there'd be a bear coming out to devour him when he got to our house, but he did make it. And he's like, "Well, I love your house and everything, but you really need to change your roads around here. I'm not really happy about Dead Rick, you know." Anyway, they prayed for us early in the battle, and then we moved. Yeah, so no more Dead Rick now. If you come and visit us, we probably moved just for that reason, actually. But it was great how the Lord sent Rick and Susan. They were really a huge encouragement to us. We took communion together and they prayed and really felt the power of God. That was so amazing how the power and presence of God is going with you in your suffering. Can I get an amen? You might be suffering, but the presence and power of God is right there. He's ahead of you. He's behind you. He's inside of you. And as we're going to see today, it's a providential love that guides you along your way. So let's just get right to the message. This is based on the book, Love Speaks. If you don't have one, and you know, borntoblaze.com, they're available there for a donation. And I'm just going to talk about a few of the ways love speaks. I selected a few of the Father today because I feel like the Father is misunderstood. And it's good to kind of learn how each of the members, the three members of the Trinity, speak. Because believe it or not, and many of you have read the book, you know, I highlight there's different ways that Jesus the Son speaks, different ways the Holy Spirit speaks, and different ways the Father himself is communicating. And he's probably the most mysterious. That's why I like to unveil some of his mysteries for you today. So I'm going to make it very easy, very plain. So by the time you finish this message, you can go home and you can just begin to look at this week and especially get to like the Friday and then look back. Because as we'll see, sometimes we don't understand the workings of the Lord in the middle of the circumstance, but after we get through it, we look back and we realize, oh, you know that song, even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. He never stops working. It's absolutely true. Yes. And we're going to find it in Scripture, and I'm going to share a few hair raising on your neck stories to prove it, and then we'll pray for y'all. So is that good? Yeah. So can I just pray quick here? So Father, I just thank you for this Valentine's Day and that, Father, love speaks on Valentine's Day. And to all those watching and to all those here, I just thank you that, Father, in the name of Jesus, you will communicate something of your love and providence to all those here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it awesome, by the way, that we have the revelation of the Father through the Son, and only we have him. No other religion on earth can worship the Father, because you have to have the Son and then the power of the Holy Spirit, which we have now on this side of Pentecost, to get access to the Father.
That's right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to start in the Old Testament, and we're going to find how he is called Father there. He was beautiful how he revealed himself to Israel as Father. But if you're a member of one of the tribes of Israel today, you need Jesus, the Messiah, to reveal who this Father was and is and shall be forever. Amen. So I'm going to start in, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to find out how the Lord is way ahead of us, or as my wife tells me about weekly, if not daily, this phrase, way ahead of you, honey. She's laughing, but it's so true. Men, your wives are way ahead of you. Come on. Any amens there? All right, we got, by the way, all the women are clapping. Yeah. Way ahead of you, honey. That's how the Father is, way ahead of you, honey. Can I call everybody honey here? This is a Southern church, right? So, are you Southern Baptist? What are you? Anyway, what I want to say is we're going to look at this.
Southern pastor.
Yeah, Southern pastor. We're going to look at this beautiful, mysterious way the Father speaks. And let me just define for you how I, you know, approach it in Love Speaks. It's very simple. I'll start with the Son, because Jesus our Lord, he is the living Word. Amen? So he speaks to you primarily daily through his word. And you can have that manna, that fresh word, every day if you so choose.
Right.
You know, you can if you're in your Bibles and you're believing, the Holy Spirit can be breathing on that scripture and Jesus the Son can be manifesting himself to you personally. He also speaks through his body, through the word of prophecy and so forth. Then you have the Holy Spirit whom he sent. And he calls the Spirit the promise of the Father, doesn't he? In Acts chapter 1. Isn't that beautiful? The promise of the Father was, I think it's in John 14, he says, it's a benefit to you all if I, Jesus speaking, go away, because I'm going to go to the Father and my presence will be there, but I'm going to send the Spirit so you will not be orphans. Come on. You are not an orphan today. You are a blood-bought, resurrected son or daughter of the living King. Amen. That's who you are. You're not an orphan. An orphan has no sense of their identity. They don't know their name. You have a new name given to you by the eternal Son today. The orphan does not have an inheritance because they've been bypassed. You have an eternal inheritance, and you've been given now the Holy Spirit, and he's your down payment. He's like 10%. I want more than that, by the way. I'll take 20. I'll take 20, Lord, as my down payment, or even 30. But whatever it is, eternally we get the whole 100.
Come on.
You can't stand up here and not do a little preaching. And then you get the Father. So the Son speaks, and then the Spirit speaks. Of course, defining that, he speaks from within. He speaks from within your redeemed human spirit. Okay? That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He's often speaking through, flowing through your mind. We call that the inner voice of the Spirit. So it's very simply a matter of learning when it's your thoughts or when it's God's thoughts. And then finally, how does the Father communicate? Well, I like this one. I believe the Father primarily communicates two ways, if you can remember this. Externally, so he communicates externally, and through confirmation internally. So he's, and by the way, we could also throw in there, so it's externally, confirmation by the Holy Spirit, but also indirectly. Okay? That's why the audible voice of the Father is the last of 21 ways you can hear the voice, because it's very rare.
That's right.
I've never heard the audible voice of the Father, and I'm around the world teaching this stuff, okay? I don't know. God could have picked somebody that's heard all these ways. I don't know. I've gotten through 18 of the 21, but there's three of them I've never heard, and that's one of them. I've never heard the audible voice, but I hear the inner voice of the Spirit nearly every day, and I could tell you every week I have multiple contacts and connections with God. And the Father himself is the most mysterious and the most beautiful, his love for you. He wants you, I believe, to follow him by faith. So it's in a sense he tucks himself away, and not only that, he goes ahead of you in the circumstances, and he kind of tucks himself. I don't know how much of the widescreen we have there, but you know, he's like over here, and it's psst, Carl. Yeah. Is he looking at me? You know, and that's the Father. He's kind of over here somewhere. Like, okay, and I'm like, was that the Father? Oh, okay, I'll stumble this way, and I stumble ahead, and then I find as I get there, he's prepared a feast of people, of relationships, of friendships, of circumstances where I step into him and I go, wow. And then later I look back and I go, well, that was the Father's love for me. And so here on Valentine's Day, I want to communicate the Father's love for you. That's how he speaks. So let's look at this in the Old Testament together. So if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 33, I love this verse because this really shows us the character of God. The Lord your God goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
That's his warmth of love, isn't it? And a cloud by day. Everybody say cloud.
Cloud.
That's the coolness of his love. You got the warmth of his love and the coolness of his love. To show you the way in which you should go. Believe this day that you have a good, good Father. You really do. And he wants you to discover his will and his direction for you. So he's saying here, is revealing to them, he goes ahead of them by this cloud. Now, this was the cloud that we find in Numbers. You can read the whole story. I believe it's Numbers chapter 9 through 11. He set this supernatural substance in the sky to direct his troops, to direct his people. It was not a cloud. But by day, it had the appearance of a cloud, and by night, it changed into fire. So I just said to you the answers, but what do you need at night when it's cold in the desert out here? A little fire would be nice, right?
Yeah.
And what do you need during the day in July 15th in Phoenix, Arizona, when it's hot? What will be nice in the sky for you? A little cloud or a big cloud?
Yeah.
To give you some shade, to give you some cool. Do you see how beautiful? Would you just stop it? Pastor Rick is talking about air conditioning. It's not in the scriptures, Pastor Rick. You're ruining my message here, brother. All right, the cloud was better than air conditioning because it was there. You know, you just got to preach over him. You just got to keep, you know, this movie Mouse Hunt, you know, the whole Mouse Hunt movie, and at the end they're having the thing, and there's this big auction, and the guy's like, whatever happens, just keep going. So I feel like I'm on Mouse Hunt today. So this cloud was the reflection of his love for his people. Isn't that beautiful? And he's also revealed in Deuteronomy 1 as the Father that takes you as a child up in his arms. So again, we get the revelation of that, but we, on this side of the cross, get it through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How about Ezekiel? Now, this is one of my favorites here. We'll see if we're going to get these scriptures up. I don't know. Are we getting them up? Ezekiel chapter 1. Okay, this is really cool. This is a picture of a symbolic picture of the providence of God as revealed to the prophet by the river. So, now, as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside each of the living beings, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. So, yep, there we go. The appearance of them, that's their appearance. So workmanship, like sparkle. So he describes them. The four of them were the same form, their appearance and workmanship. And as if one wheel was within another. Let's go to the next verse. Wherever the Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close behind them, and the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Is that all of it? I think so. Yeah. So this is the picture. He's looking up in the sky, and he's seeing a giant wheel of God's purpose, and these four wheels that are sort of encircled within the wheel, and wherever the spirit is going, the wheels are in motion. That speaks of the providence of God. It means that whenever God's purposes are going forth, those wheels are moving. And let me tell you, those wheels are moving for you today. The providence of God is in those wheels, the living beings. His purpose is going forth for you, for this nation, for all the nations, and his plan is that his love would be revealed to you, and his wheels are within the wheels. Can somebody give me an amen? Okay, let's hear how Jesus reveals the providence of the Father. So he says in Matthew 10, Matthew 10, if you can turn there, look up on the screen. Yeah, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. I love this verse, and we have a lot of sparrows in Minneapolis. So whenever I'm seeing those sparrows, I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking, my Father knows every single sparrow out in my yard today. But he says, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Let me see, how you doing? Yep, you're doing good. We got a few of you. Anybody with? Okay, I am thinning, but they're all numbered. He's got these numbered, all these red hairs now going white. If you ask my kids, Dad, you are going white. Thank you. Needed to hear that. The very hairs on your head are all numbered, so do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Can somebody give me an amen to that? Wow. And you know, one of my favorite verses, we go all the way to Romans for it, and it's chapter 8. I think I gave you this one. Yeah, we know that God causes all things. Everybody say, all things. We need to hear this once in a while, right? On Valentine's Day. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, all things toward his good. Now, Pastor Rick brought us a prophetic word this morning already. He gave us Jehovah Jireh, and it was Jehovah Shalom, and then Jehovah Rapha. So we're just want to reference one of those for you and how beautiful the revelation is in that word, Jehovah Jireh. That, I don't have the scripture for it, but that comes from the story that we all know so well in Genesis, where the Lord called Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And we all know the story. It's just the most important story of Genesis in this way, because Paul gives us his revelation on it. It's that Abraham believed God and was accounted righteous before circumcision, before anything outward. By the way, today we're having a baptism. That's the New Testament form of circumcision. Aren't you guys happy? We don't have to get circumcised when we become believers. Okay, thank you, Lord. Especially, I became a believer when I was 20. I don't think I wanted to be circumcised at 20. But we get baptized. That's the New Testament equivalent. It's an outward sign of what's become inward, reality. By faith, you're believing. You get water baptized. It's a sign of your belief, and it's an entrance into the community. So where's our sister getting baptized? Can you raise your hand? Are you here? Okay, you're getting baptized. You are about to be officially welcomed into a community of fellow believers, brothers and sisters that are going to love on you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to get you through all your struggles because, hon, you and I, we have struggles in this life, but our friends and our family of God pull us through. And the Holy Spirit is right there with you. The wheels are within the wheels for you today. Come on. She's giving. I'm going to start crying now. Amen. So we welcome you in your baptism today, and we bless you. And anyway, Abraham believed. And so Paul in Romans 4 gives us the truth. Everyone looks at this sacrificial moment and says, how could God require this of one of his? But remember, he provided the ram. And so the ram was already in place from the Father. The Father calls upon nature for you. The ram was in place. So he looked up and he saw the ram as the sacrifice. So Abraham sacrifices the ram. And by faith, he's now accepted in the beloved. And so this is a beautiful moment. And so he calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it doesn't mean the Lord provides. The actual Hebrew, and if you go back to the original, it means this. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who sees ahead and makes provision beforehand.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
That's free. That wasn't in my notes. Let me repeat that. Jehovah Jireh, the revelation is the Lord who sees ahead and makes provision beforehand. So your provision for tomorrow is already there. You can grab a hold of it by faith and thank the Lord because he's already gone ahead to your tomorrow. So when you step into tomorrow, you can realize, Daddy's been here. Father's been here. It's Valentine's Day every day of the week for us. Every day of the year is Valentine's Day. He wants to be your Valentine and you're his. Come on. He's not just your provider. He's the provider that provides ahead of time.
That's good.
So even 3 months from now, he's got your provision covered. A year from now, he's got your provision covered.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you don't have to do some of the things that we do in this church that we call forth. You know, we call for it. We believe we can prophetically declare for it. Why can we do that? It's because we know he's already made the provision so we can draw on it. I remember a prophet once prophesied to me, and he said, Brother Carl, the Lord said to me, What did he say exactly? The phrase was, he said, receive, call forth and receive tomorrow's provision today. Wow. How many of you ever heard that one? I had never heard it. You mean we can pray and call forth tomorrow's provision and receive it today? Why can we do that? Because Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, sees ahead and makes provision for you. So I got to tell you a few stories now, and then we're just going to pray and close. It's just a very practical message, so I get to tell you a few stories. And one of my favorites is this Irishman. Could I just have my water there, honey? Sorry. Yeah, it's on the floor. That one. There's an Irishman, thank you, named J. Edwin Orr. Now, he probably not a familiar name to you unless you've studied revival history. He was one of the greatest revival historians in the 20th century. Billy Graham himself called Dr. Orr the most learned man of revival history in the 20th century. So he had deep influence on Billy Graham. But as a young Irishman, here's how his faith journey began. He was 22 years old. He had no money. He had seen a revival break out in the city of Belfast, where he was from. He had gotten together churches, and 1,500 people had come to Christ in this massive meeting over Belfast. And in the middle of this revival, God said, okay, get on your bike and go over to England, to the UK, and sow seeds of prayer that I'm gonna move. This is 1933. So in the year 1933, God sends this little 22-year-old skinny Irishman on a bicycle with no money in his pocket over to England to preach and to draw Christians together. So he meets his friend. And by the way, this is kind of fun. I'm right in the middle of, I don't know if you know this, but Love Speaks is a TV series as well. It's currently airing on TBN, and it's on our website as well. It's a documentary film series. I produced the first 7 films of 21 by faith. I'm in the middle right now of producing the next 7 films. We raised a lot of money. We probably have some donors watching today that gave, and we're producing 7 brand new films literally right now. I'll go home tomorrow and Tuesday morning. I'm in my editing suite editing this. And so the story I'm about to tell you, I filmed it on site by faith. I flew over to England. And I'm going to tell you a few stories about that, but I flew to England by faith, and I filmed all over the UK by faith in the middle of COVID, in between these outbreaks. So the Lord sent me there right in between these massive outbreaks and shutdowns, and literally when I got home within a month, the entire nation was completely shut down. There were no Americans let in. You couldn't travel anywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. Yet when I was there for 2 weeks, I went everywhere. I filmed all this stuff, and you're going to get to see it on television one of these days.
Awesome.
Amen. This story, so what happens? He shows up at the port, and all of a sudden, one of his buddies happens to be walking by. Okay, we call that a divine appointment or a holy, right? That's a holy coincidence. We're talking about providence. There are no coincidences, only holy coincidences for you. That's all you have. You can look forward to them. They're going to be there this week. You're going to bump into somebody that you never expected to see there, and you're going to have this fellowship moment. That's what happens to J. Edwin Orr. So Edwin's there, his buddy is there, and he says, well, you know, Edwin, where are you going? He says, I'm off to England. Oh, well, how are you going to travel? He says, well, I have my bicycle here. Okay, bicycle, great. And how far are you going? He says, I don't know. And he says, okay, well, where are you going to get your next meal? I don't know. How much money do you have in your pocket? About $3. Oh, okay, so you're starting off an adventure with $3. You don't know where you're going to get your next meal. Where are you going to stay tonight? He says, I have no idea. And the guy says, oh, Edwin, either you're the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth, or it's going to be 10,000 miles of miracles in Britain for you. Yeah. And off he went. And so a year later, after traveling 10,000 miles on his bicycle, starting off with $3, he wrote a book. I have a first edition of it at home. It's called 10,000 Miles of Miracles in Britain.
Wow.
He shows up, his first port of call, and he shows up in this town of Shrewsbury. The way he got there was he was 50 miles away in England, in the middle of nowhere, and he prayed. He said, Father, it began to lightly rain, and he could tell there was a rainstorm coming. He's on his bicycle. He said, Father, I'd really like to get to Shrewsbury without any rain, without getting wet. And a minute later, a truck, they called a lorry there, but a truck comes by. The truck driver mistakes him for another friend of his, thinks it's him, lets him in the truck in his bicycle, and on the way to Shrewsbury, he leads the truck driver to Jesus Christ, amen, and gets off fully dry. Nowhere to stay, nowhere to eat, nothing. It's midnight. And he's standing in the town center. And I went to Shrewsbury a few months ago and filmed at night in the town center right there. I filmed the whole story there. He's standing there not knowing what he was going to do in prayer. And this policeman, you know, they call him a bobby. Right, the bobby walks up. Okay. What are you doing here, mate, you know? And he tries to explain why I'm an evangelist. He was an evangelist. And I'm here to sow seeds for revival. And the policeman wasn't too sure. So the policeman says, "How am I to know that you are genuine?" So he reaches into his pocket, and this is my mask, but he pulls out six letters. He had six different pastors in Belfast from six different denominational churches write him a letter of recommendation or commendation in case he was ever stopped by the police. You know, these letters could explain that he's genuine. So he reaches into his pocket and just pulls out one of the six, doesn't even look at it. He doesn't even know which one it is, and hands it to the policeman. And the policeman opens it, and he starts reading it, and then the smile goes on his face. And he folds it up, and he shakes Edwin's hand. He realized that this letter was true, but this letter was signed by William Phillips, a pastor in Belfast. This policeman happened to be a close personal friend of William Phillips. And he brought him to a B&B and paid for his accommodation and even bought him breakfast the next morning. Come on, somebody. There is nowhere on earth you can go where your father has not already gone, "Psst, yo, over here, this way." And you're like, "Okay, I'll take my bicycle and I'll show up." And the provision of God is already there because he's already been there ahead of me. So, boom, and you just walk into it.
Come on. That's good.
I've got some more stories. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
Thought you might. This one's kind of fun. So when our son Ethan, and he was a really cute 11-year-old, my Ethan, and hopefully he's not watching this, you know. You ministered here at Freedom Gate to him when he was 11 in the youth group here. By the way, Pastor Susan, I'm sure you're back with the kids. Let's give Pastor Susan and all the team a hand who are working with those kids, because my kids were part of that. Part of the fruit of your work is our kids. So he was going to a youth camp. Once a year, we'd invite him to youth camp. It's kind of a Holy Spirit weekend thing. And he had his friend Micah with him. So Micah came to stay overnight the night before they went away to the youth camp. So I went to bed at 10. I usually get up around 6 or whatever, get some my coffee. And so at 6 o'clock the next morning, the day we're supposed to leave, I walk into the kitchen, and there's this note, this exact note. I have it here. This is the exact writing. This is the exact thing. This is sitting on the counter by the coffee maker. So here's what it says. 4:13 a.m., 7th of August. "Dear Carl, Dad, and Sarah, Mom, we were awakened by what we thought was God." They've underlined God and put him in G-O-D. "Telling us to pray and worship God." That sounds like an 11-year-old. "We were awakened by God, by what we thought was God, telling us to pray and worship God." Could have said worship him, but no. Okay. "You will find us in your office. Love, Ethan and Micah." So I thought, you know, they're thinking, just in case they're wondering where they are at 4:13, they left us this note that they're in our office seeking the presence of God. So what they did was they got in my office, and I have a special room in my house. It happens to be this office where I keep the worship going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you don't do that here in this building, I'd highly recommend it. It doesn't cost you much in electricity. Toss on your CD and Burge, you know, have Burge, you know, he's got some recordings or whatever. The angels probably get sick of Burge after a week, so change it out. But, you know, amen. No, they won't get sick of you, Burge. I'm just kidding. So you got your different artists, and Rick has done some whatever. I would dedicate this holy space to the Lord and keep the worship going. That's what I do at home. Why? Because it's the old Celtic way. They called it thin places. There were these places in Ireland where they worshiped the Lord so often that you just step into them, and it's like you're stepping into the presence of God. Well, don't we all want that? Well, you can all have a thin place. Just dedicate a space in your house, get some worship playing there, and whenever you go to pray there, you're going to step into the veil is so thin between earth and heaven, you step into the presence of God, and you're worshiping. So they were in there, my thin place. And on my CD, I happen to have a Chris Tomlin song, and it was playing "How Awesome is the Lord Most High" when they walked in. That's what was playing on my 24-hour-a-day thing. So they sat down and said, well, God told us to come here to find him and worship him, so what do? So they're like, I don't know. So they took my Bible and they threw it down on my table and it opened up. The Bible opened up to Acts 2. So they proceeded to write the entire thing out by hand. And this is Ethan's writing, and this is, you can tell, the messy one is Ethan's, and Micah's is pretty bold and straightforward. But I can read it. It's really cool. This is the entire passage of Acts 2 and 3, and they wrote powerful verses, you know. And it shall be in the last days, God says, I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams.
Hallelujah.
So this is what they did. So they wrote this whole thing out, left the note. Great. So we go to camp that day, and we're dropping them off, and they won't let the parents stay very long, but they let the parents sit in the first session for like the first half hour, and then we all have to leave. So we're in the session and we're worshiping and whatever, and then we take a break and now the parents have to go. So Ethan comes running up and he goes, Dad, did you hear the opening song? I said, no. Well, I mean, yeah, I was worshiping to it, but what was it? I don't remember. He says, it was How Awesome is the Lord Most High. That's what was playing in your office when we walked in at 4:13 a.m. this morning. What a confirmation. I'm like, yeah, you're hearing God's voice. He goes, Dad, did you see the t-shirts? And I'm like, no, what? What am I supposed to be looking for? T-shirts. He said, the counselors all have on t-shirts, and they all pray, and each week the Lord gives them in advance a scripture verse for that particular week, and they customize and they make new t-shirts every week. And look at one. I look across the room, and I saw the counselor turn and walk that way, and on the back of his t-shirt is Acts chapter 2. And you come about in the last days, I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Is the Lord the God or what? Come on! He's like, Dad, am I hearing God's voice? I'm like, oh, yes, son, you keep going. You're hearing the Father's voice. You can't go anywhere where the Father hasn't gone ahead of you.
Come on.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
I got two more. I got two more, and then we'll close. This. How am I doing for time? Good. So this next one is kind of fun. In Love Speaks, episode 7 is one of my favorites. It's all about the conversion of John and Charles Wesley in London. And it's a beautiful story, how it all unfolds. It's called Two Hearts Strangely Warmed, because that's the famous phrase of Wesley himself. You know, he's in the meeting, and he says, my heart was strangely warmed. Such a beautiful, you know, thing to say. And so I made this film because actually his brother Charles came to faith 3 days before John. And so I call it, it's their story, so I call it Two Hearts Strangely Warmed. Well, what happened is, this was my first filming tour and I was sick with cancer while I was doing this. This is all by faith, but I was getting better by this point, and so I was able to travel in between injections of this very powerful drug and do my filming. And the way you film on a mission is, you had like seven scripts, so I was filming, like in London, I was filming four different scripts all in one day, if that makes sense. So you got to film your pieces because you have a crew and they're very expensive, so you got to plan it right. So I planned this whole day in London, and what happened is, that morning when I was getting dressed to get ready for the filming, I opened my bag and I was grabbing my socks and underwear, and underneath it all was this card. Now, this is a love note from my beautiful wife right here, signed by my wife. So what happens is, before I go on a trip, my wife hides a love note or two for me in my luggage, and then on a certain day in a certain place, I'll find the love note and I'll open it and I'll be really encouraged. Now, this is really cool, except when I tell you the truth, which is, God put us together and we have exact opposite love languages. So like words of encouragement, that's what this is. This is one of my top. So I'm words of encouragement and physical touch. Sarah would be quite happy if she never gave me a real word of encouragement, and if she never hugged me. She just is not her love languages. Whereas she loves quality time and works of service. And for me, I could care less if I spent any time with any of you, and I don't want to serve any of you either. And yet we're together. I'm just joking, but you know what I'm saying. So anyway, so I give her a little hint before a trip, you know, the day or two before, I'd be like, yeah, so yeah, you know, I'm leaving tomorrow about 7 p.m. I'll pack my bag, and you know, maybe there'll be something extra in there. You know, so I help her along a little sometimes if I have to, and so she begrudgingly sticks these love notes in there. But anyway, it happens. So this was a very special one. Now this is the morning I found it providentially. Again, who's gone before me? The Father. Way ahead. This is a 12-day filming mission. On this day, I find this note. It reads, "When you opened your eyes this morning, God had already taken care of every unfolding detail of your day. Providence." And then there's a beautiful thing that she wrote. So thank you, honey, for this. I treasure this. So I go off to film. This particular day, I'm filming the story of John Wesley. Now, I'm named after John Wesley. My middle name is Wesley, Carl Wesley Anderson, so I was named after John and Charles. So it's a very special filming day. I'm going to four different sites all over London, including I'm finishing the day at the bedroom where John Wesley died, on the bed right there where he went to be in glory in 1791. And I got to, we rented out the entire floor of this museum. And it was just us and me and my crew, so we're filming in the bedroom where he went to be with the Lord. Adjacent to the bedroom is a small room right there with a little fireplace where you could tell that's how they used to, you know, keep warm. Small room with a prayer. It had a little prayer bench and a little altar set up with the Bible, a big old King James Bible open. And it had probably been open for like 100 years. You know, this is John Wesley's Bible, and it's just opened up to a random page. So I'm in the bed first filming the last portion of the documentary where I tell the story of Providence, all the theme, the whole theme. Episode 7, way number 7, is this message, Providence. The ways of the Father are going ahead of you to prepare the way. I remember I'd opened this card that morning. I knew God was going to go ahead of me. So I'm filming this whole thing. I finish, and I say to my guys, hey, you know, let's go film in that room there. We'll film a little piece by the John Wesley Bible. Great. So the guy goes in there, sets a camera up. I thought, well, just for fun, I'll look at what passage is opened, you know, just for fun, because maybe there's a message in there for me. So again, it's probably been open to this for 100 years or whatever. I walk up to it, I sit down, I kneel where John Wesley knelt, and I look at the Bible page opened. I look at the top of the left page. It's the Psalms. It's the old Psalms with the Roman numerals, but I make out it's about Psalm 105, because of I don't know the Roman numerals very well, but I could figure this out. And it the very top of the page gives the theme of the whole psalm, and it is a theme of God's mighty power and providence. 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 And I was so shocked, I flipped this way 10 psalms back, thought, was there any other psalm that talks about providence? No. I went 10 psalms forward. This is the only psalm that talks about the providence of God. And it was already open to the providence of God after I'd filmed the story of the providence of God in the life of John Wesley and received the providence of God card that morning. Can somebody give me an amen? That's how your Father, he puts a cloud there by day. It gives you that shade. By night, it gives you the fire. You got the warmth of his love at night. You got the cool of his warmth during the day. You're surrounded by love. It's Valentine's Day, baby. Let's give the Father praise because he's awesome. I had 10 more stories, but let's just call it a day. I think that pretty much, you get it, right? Love speaks on Valentine's Day. Love speaks for you every day of the week. And, you know, we're just honored to, yeah, we love you guys. So, yeah, no, well, it's all right. I'm coming to the end here. I mean, I guess I'll just give you a recent one. Again, when I went over to, what happened is this summer, we didn't have much money to do anything, extra money. You know, we're medium missionaries. We live by faith. And by the way, thank you to you all, because you all are sowing. Freedom Gate sows into our ministry every month to help us keep going. And we're so thankful for you. So we love you and thank you for your sowing. We have to raise extra support, though, to send me places to travel sometimes because it's very expensive for crews. So in the middle of summer, I had written all these 7 scripts. Thanks to my wife, my beautiful, much more better looking and much younger wife. Did I get that right? Yeah. And she had encouraged me during COVID to write a script a week, and I did. And so I have all these scripts ready to go for all 7 ways. And the Lord says to me, what are you waiting for? Just go by faith. And I'm like, but Lord, the nations are closed. And sure enough, a lot of them you couldn't get in. But he said, no, you can get to the UK. You just have to self-quarantine the first 2 weeks. So I thought, all right, that was the rule. So I talked to a few donors. They felt the call of the Lord in that moment to support and get behind us with generous donations. And they did a match gift, so I brought that to a few other donors. Everybody matched it, and we were able to go by faith with full provision. So I went for an entire month to the UK with full provision from the Father to film. The first 2 weeks, I had to be self-quarantined, so I booked a very inexpensive Airbnb cottage in the English countryside, and I was hunkered down, but I when I got there, I realized as a filmmaker, I'm given a special exemption that we can, as long as we and our crew go to a certain place and then come back, they call it a bubble, we could still have an exemption to do some filming. So I had no plans to film the first 2 weeks when I got there. But on the second day, I happened to post a photo of where I was staying with the English roses there. And it was clear I was in England. And these friends of mine, who are a beautiful couple, they're Irish-English. He's Irish, she's English. They're a worship leader couple. They lead the most beautiful violin and Irish whistle and everything worship. And they're dear friends of many years, or intercessors. They saw my post and they said, "Oh, where are you?" And I spontaneously said, "Well, I'm in this city." And they're like, "Oh, we're only 20 miles away." Now, England's a pretty huge country. Well, I had picked this place by faith in the middle of the country. They're 20 miles away. I said, "Great, you guys want to have dinner?" Yeah, they come over for dinner. And I'm with this beautiful couple. And first of all, Julie, the woman, she's got a beautiful voice. I said, would you mind reading some of my script pieces and doing these pieces for me?" "No, I'd be happy to." So she reads the opening scripture of all seven new episodes, and we filmed it spontaneously. And we got to this piece on St. Patrick, because I'm telling the story of St. Patrick in the films. And of course, he wrote this beautiful poem called The Breastplate of St. Patrick. And it talks about, it. Basically the poem says, "Christ within me, Christ above me, Christ on my right." It's the same thing we're preaching about here, but with Christ. You know, Christ on my left, Christ before me, Christ is everywhere, Christ even in mouth of friend or stranger is how the poem goes. That's the name of my episode, Christ in mouth of friend or stranger. So I had in my script, I had already, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, he had told me, "Maybe you have a female sing this." I thought, well, that's... So I said to Julie, I'm sitting there with a worship leader. I'm like, "Julie, would you be open to maybe looking at this, you know, and composing something or sing it for me now?" She goes, "Give me a day and let's meet Monday." And I find out Monday was wide open. My schedule's wide open. This is a Saturday. That was wide. I had nothing on the schedule. She said, "Let's meet Monday. We've pre-booked 3 months ago a full studio and a space to film. And let me have a day to compose something and we'll meet Monday and you can film it." So again, the Father went ahead of me 3 months, and then I stumble into England, and 2 days in, I get this Facebook little thing, and I find out, okay, so then we have dinner, and then she says, so the Sunday, she goes to the Lord. The Lord gives her a download of a beautiful melody and beautiful song set to that exact verse. Monday, I drive 20 miles up to a pre-booked studio, and they give me the whole day. I shot a music video from 9 angles. And the whole thing, and shot it live, and she composed it, and it's now a song in the next film that airs next week on Zoom. Okay, that I could do 100 more stories, but that, you know, I'm just telling you, this stuff happens to me all the time. Okay, how many? 90? Okay, we'll be here till 2 or 3, so, you know, your oven might burn, but. Right? Aren't we all just wowing how great the Father is? Can you remember that the wheels are within the wheels? His providence is going forth for you, even in COVID, even with the shift of politics and everything, all the stuff, the natural disasters and everything going on in the world of terrorism and different religions and anti-Christian spirits and things on the news and all of it. The providence of God, the wheels are still within those wheels, and they're turning every which way, north, south, east, and west, and wherever the purpose of God goes, they go to prepare the way for you. Hallelujah. Your Father has already visited your tomorrow, so he can speak and give you faith today.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So let's all stand and let me pray for y'all. Well, Father, we've seen some wonderful verses today, Lord. We remember that you are our Father. We can call you Father. We can call you Daddy. We know that your Spirit is within us. We have this because we have bowed our knees to the only Son of God, the eternal and divine Son of God. And Lord, we just love on you today. And Father, it's Valentine's Day, but Lord, with you, every day is Valentine's Day because we are your Valentine and you are ours. And Lord, I thank you that eternally we are in love together. And I just pray your blessing and your sealing today by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Lord, you take this word in our hearts and seal it there, that we can remember every week to look back and go, your providential hand was there and there and there and there, and we can rejoice and give you praise because you're worthy of our praise.
Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy of our worship today.
Worthy, Lord, you're worthy.
And we give you praise, Father.
Thank you,
Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Rick, over to you.